Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, we're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed here in San Francisco. We have built a Tuesday that hopefully will help the 49er fans at least understand what's going on.
How so?
Because we got offensive line problems.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring on a bunch of offensive linemen.
Okay, we should probably give today a nickname.
We should, shouldn't we?
We should.
All right, you want me to do it? I'll do it.
You won't.
I will. Mark Schlereth is coming on right now. More on that in a second. John Feliciano in 2 hours. We got offensive line problems. So, Stink, I'm calling it Fat Tuesday. That's what today is. It's Fat Tuesday. We need to figure this out.
All right, and yeah, what are we going to figure out? What are we going to get new players?
What are we going to do? You tell me what we need to do. So joining us here on the River Islands guest line, it is Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So first off, how's the podcast going? What were you hitting on this week?
Podcast is going good. We were just talking about the teams in general, like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, the falling apart of the Baltimore Ravens. Now the Buffalo Bills falling apart. Kansas City all of a sudden, like, 1 week they look great. The next week they look average. You know, if you're talking about NFL in general, and if it what the thing you wanted was parity, you certainly got it. Because I don't know that there's any team that I look at right now that's going, wow, that team is really good. Maybe you could make an argument for the Rams, but everybody seems to be struggling right now. And I don't know that it's going to get any better. At some point, some teams will separate, but right now, everybody's pretty even in general.
I think that's a fair observation, and I wonder where you think the 49ers sit in that. Because let's be real, especially when you factor in the injuries, their 4-2 record looks better than I would argue they've looked as a football team. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, and that win against the Rams on what was that, a Thursday night, yep, was big time to be able to figure out a way to get that done. To be sitting at 4-2 and missing the majority of, you know, your offensive stars, if you will, and then some of the defensive injuries that you've had as well. I mean, it's amazing that you are sitting there at 4-2. That is incredible. But yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of teams that are injured right now, and it's one of my big pet peeves about how the NFL is constructed. So I'll just go back, and I hate to be the old guy in black socks on his porch shouting at clouds, but allow me to be the old guy in black socks shouting at clouds on his porch. You know, the way we orchestrate or the way we develop NFL teams is we pay an exorbitant amount of money to quarterbacks, to wide receivers, to edge rushers, to left tackles, maybe to a dominant defensive tackle. Like, that's where our money goes. And where we try to save money is in the backup players. When I first got in the league and I was playing for the Redskins, every guy that was a backup on our football team had started somewhere else for 4 or 5 years and came to us and was a backup offensive lineman. And where teams try to save money is on the offensive line. So you may pay, you know, your tackles big money. You may have to pay a guard that, you know, gets to that point money. But then all your backups are first and second year guys that probably shouldn't even be in the league. But that's what you've got, and you try to save money by paying those guys minimum wage, and then you have one or two injuries up front, and you're screwed, because that the line of scrimmage is so important. And you can look at what Mike Vrabel's doing with the Patriots right now. You dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, we make so much out of paying wide receivers and paying this guy and paying that. If you dominate the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, you win regardless of who your quarterback is, who your wide receivers are, all that stuff. But if you get trucked on the line of scrimmage, you're screwed. You cannot win. I don't care who you are. And so it's just really interesting how we value and what we value and how fantasy football seems to have affected, you know, organizations for the most part.
Yeah, I don't have any centers, guards, or tackles on my fantasy team, Stink. I don't know if you do, but I tried to draft a couple, but they wouldn't let me. And just to take this to the 49ers, is this where you look at the Niners and you see this as maybe their biggest problem? Because they have a backup quarterback, and they've got a backup tight end and backup wide receivers, and they've looked good at times, but it seems like the offensive line is the area where they're struggling.
Yeah, that and being able to stop people up front on defense and be able to put a consistent pass rush together. You know, when you lose players there, and now you guys are, you know, not only down Bosa, but now you're down Fred Warner. And, man, it makes it really hard to win in the National Football League when you have injuries. And so, yeah, it's definitely a problem, guys. But, you know, it's a problem all over the place. It's a problem all over the league. And it really feels to me like the further we get away from actual football, the more injuries we get, you know, and in the under the guise, if you will, of player safety. And we want to keep our guys healthy. And so we're not going to practice, and we're not going to do this in full pads. And we're not going to have, like, I don't think you develop kind of a kinesthetic awareness of what's going on and, you know, leverage and how you push on a guy and you know, how your body reacts and all that stuff. And I think it's one of the reasons there's so, it just feels to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but across the board, it just feels to me that there are so many more injuries in today's game. And everybody wants to point, oh, they're bigger, faster, stronger. And I'm like, well, everybody is. So that's not, I don't think that's it. I don't think it's you're bigger, faster, stronger. I think that you're less skilled because you don't work at it, and you don't, what you do in practice doesn't necessarily mimic what you do in football games, and guys aren't prepared. You know, they're not quote unquote calloused for that.
You know, it's interesting, Stink, that you would say that. And by the way, Insider Calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibbs every other Tuesday. Stink, when you say that, it's fascinating because the criticism of Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers team under him, which has often been among the most injured in football, the thought is that he runs one of the more aggressive camps in the NFL. And the reason he does that is because of what you just said. Like, he believes the same thing, that you need to build up that sort of callus in your body in order to handle an NFL season. So, A, what's your reaction to the fact that that hasn't worked for Kyle? And B, what is your experience with a quote-unquote Shanahan-type camp?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was different in my time because, you know, we put on pads twice a day and we went out and beat the snot out of one another. You know, it was a different deal. I will say that one of the big things that I always thought Mike did an exceptional job of was once the season started, and that's obviously Mike being Kyle Shanahan's father, once the season started, we weren't in pads very – we were in pads for the first 20, 25 minutes of a Thursday practice. That was it. But we had the little foam shells on and helmets, and it was full go, no pads. I mean, what we did on line of scrimmage was 100% identical without pads on to what it was if we had pads on. And I felt like, for me, we played faster – on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday doing that, that when we got into the game, it was very similar to what we were doing. So I don't know. I'm not there at practices. You know, when I go to San Francisco to be at practice, I only see the Friday practices. But, you know, I don't know if it's like I believe in that style of practice. I believe that that's the best way to keep as healthy as possible. But I don't know what we're doing in the weight room. I don't know what we're doing, tying everything together. It may just be incredibly bad luck. I have no idea, but man, it just is, it's just disappointing, you know. And I was really hoping for Kyle in San Francisco that, hey man, we'll get through this until the bye week. We'll get everybody back and guys will get healthy and maybe we'll be healthy throughout the, you know, the remainder of the season. But it's an epidemic across the league right now with injuries.
And with the Niners, and you lose Fred Warner in the first quarter, as a player to see that, how devastating is that for the rest of the game to try to recover and go out there and play football?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, but you know, as soon as that guy gets carted off and you put your hand back in the dirt, you better have your focus on, otherwise you can get your ass kicked. And so that's just one of those deals that every guy that plays this game understands the danger of playing this game. And it's not a matter of if, it's when. There's 100% likelihood that you're going to get injured and that it's just the way the game is. And every guy willingly accepts that and understands that. And you feel for your guy and you say, man, that sucks. And love you, man. And then you go back out and you just try to get it done. So it just is the way it is. And you hate it, but you understand that's how it works.
Stink, what's the right way for the 49ers to approach the next few weeks? The trade deadline is coming. You've got a 4-2 football team, but it's a football team that's missing so many stars. So, you know, how much capital do you want to give away to go after building around this particular group? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that I probably wouldn't want to give a ton of draft capital away. You know, this was one of those that, hey, you started that rebuilding process last year, young receivers, young defensive backs, some young players. You've had some injuries again this year. And, you know, you're sitting at 4-2 and you've done it with a kind of skeleton crew to this point. And so I don't know that you want to give a lot of draft capital away. I would say that you kind of stay the course. You see if you can get healthy. Listen, man, the rest of the league is pretty meager as well. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a hell of a coach. I think he puts his players in a lot of really good positions to win. And you've been doing it with a backup quarterback. You're sitting at 4-2, bunch of backup wide receivers. It's impressive what you've done so far. And there is nobody that's running away with this thing. I don't think the Rams are going to run away with the division. I don't think the Seahawks are going to run away with the division. So would I be willing to give up all my draft capital? Probably not.
And when you look at what the Niners need, and many people would look at the offensive line, and I'm struck by what I heard you say earlier today on another show about the offensive line, where you could be 59 for 60 as an offensive lineman, you get beat once, and now all of a sudden you're the GOAT. How much pressure is on these offensive linemen to just basically be perfect every play?
Yeah, you know, I always say it's the most skilled position in football, and you know, people laugh at me, but I'll just go ahead and make my case for you guys in your audience, okay? I've seen a corner transition to safety. I've seen a safety transition to linebacker. Linebacker transition to edge rusher. Edge rusher transition to defensive tackle or defensive end. Defensive end transition to defensive tackle. I've seen a D-tackle transition to offensive line. The transition from offensive line is fan. You don't go anywhere else. You don't go to a different position. You go fan. You go O-line fan. There's nowhere else to go. It's like officer and a gentleman. And so, you know, you think about this. Every time you line up, you're lined up against a guy that is equal in size and strength, but is exponentially more gifted as an athlete than you. And you line up against that guy and you're expected to win 65 of 65 battles. And if you give up one sack, you're a piece of garbage and that guy goes to the Pro Bowl. And no other sport, there is no other sport, if Steph Curry drives by Wimby, you know, and lays it up, people don't go, Wimby sucks at defense, we got to get him out of there. You say, man, that was a great matchup. We don't line up a heavyweight against a welterweight. It doesn't happen that way. This is the one position that actually happens. So your footwork, your your ability to communicate in five playing one, your footwork, your hand placement, your hat placement, understanding leverage, understanding how funnel guys where you want guys to go, understanding where your help is. It is so incredibly technical, and people have no idea how technical and how nuanced the position is and how much technique goes into playing that position. Every little foot, every little step works. You know, I say this all the time. Hands are independent contractors, but feet work in a union. Your feet have got to work perfectly in unison together. They have to tickle the grass. They never come up out of the ground. And it's so intricate. I could talk for hours about it. And it's why it's the toughest position in all of football.
Stink. Mark Schlereth is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. It's interesting, Mark. You said earlier that it's part of the culture of football for people to watch their teammate get hurt, tap them on the back, and then just keep moving on. That's the way a locker room is built. But I'm also curious, what happens to a locker room when you lose your best players seemingly repeatedly, and this time their leader? Can you relate to this? Did this ever happen to you? What do you think is happening to the Niner locker room in the wake of the Warner injury?
Yeah, I mean, it's just at some point you're just like, really, here we go again? I mean, just snake bit again, and you look at how tough the season is, and it's got to be hard. But again, I think one of the things you have to understand as a player is almost all of us get our opportunity when somebody gets hurt. And, you know, I was a rookie. I was on IR as a rookie. And back then you could come off IR after like 6 weeks. And 6 weeks I started practicing. And then, you know, a couple weeks in and Mark May tears his ACL and next man up. And that next man happens to be me. And I go out to Philadelphia to play a game against the Eagles, who had the number one defense in football. And I know they thought, oh man, this is going to be a good game for us, right? We got a 10th rounder out of Idaho. It's good. We're going to eat. We're going to feed. And, I went out there and whooped some ass and got a game ball and got in a fight and the whole nine yards. And you get your opportunity, man. You have to take advantage of it. So somebody's going to get an opportunity. And can you take advantage of those opportunities? Can you play to a standard, to a level, you know, that Fred Warner actually has set for that whole team? So, that's the cool thing about, you know, the cool side of tragic injuries like that is somebody else is going to get an opportunity, and it may just launch that particular individual's career.
And that's kind of been the Niners season this year, where Jake Tonjes has gotten an opportunity and he has stepped up, and, you know, receivers and whatnot, and even Connor Colby, the left guard, has gotten a chance and he's come through. And I wonder what you think about this Atlanta game coming up on Sunday night football, based on what Atlanta did last night. Has this game with the Niners gotten tougher for San Francisco over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you look at a couple of weeks ago and Atlanta lost to the Carolina Panthers 30-0. And, you know, and their quarterback got rattled and they ended up pulling him. And, you know, he made a couple of mistakes and then threw a pick six and then threw another pick. And eventually they just pulled him out of the game. And, you know, he was rattled and looked awful and they couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, they've won a couple games in a row and they look pretty dominant offensively, defensively last night against the Buffalo Bills. And so, yeah, they're playing with some confidence right now. And all of a sudden, the lowly NFC, you know, South, which has just been a dumpster fire with New Orleans and Carolina and Atlanta, and, you know, Tampa's the only one that has a legitimate shot at winning things. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Carolina's 3-3 and playing better and won two straight games. And, you know, they've kind of rebounded. Now Atlanta playing better. And like I said, you know, that division isn't the sad sack that it normally is.
Hey, Stink, did you catch all the sideline antics, the arguing between Juwan Jennings and Kyle Shanahan?
No, I did not. I was I tried to get caught up on Mondays and some on Tuesday, so I watched the 30-minute cut-ups of the game, you know, going play-by-play-by-play. So I don't get to see a lot of the sideline stuff that goes on.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But just let you know, like, you know, both guys are like, hey, whatever, you know, emotional stuff. But basically, Kendrick Bourne off the street is getting all the targets. Juwan also admitted to reporters after the game that he's not just playing hurt. He started detailing the injuries. He's like, I've got five broken ribs. All of these things to me after a contract holdout in the offseason, it sort of feels like he's barking and feeling sorry for himself. I see what's going on in Philly where now they won't run the ball. They're also not winning games anymore. Like, I don't want to paint all wide receivers with a broad brush, but what's your take on that position and the way some of the guys are handling struggles in not getting targets?
Yeah, well, I mean, I want guys that can get zero targets and throw some great blocks and be happy and excited and ecstatic about a win versus guys that, you know, get 10 targets and get 100 some odd yards and two touchdowns and lose and throw a party, you know, at the restaurant after the game. I just don't like the selfishness. And again, this goes back to the fantasy football we talked about when we started this show. You guys do realize that you're like, you, like receivers are like children. You know, a lot of them, not all of them, but most of them are like the diva ones are like children. One, you're completely dependent. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to sniff a ball. And two, you guys whine and piss and moan if you're not fed. You're just like toddlers. And it's incredible. And like I've said this many times, like if you're going to whine and piss and moan, what I would like to do is take you down to one-on-one offensive line versus defensive line and let some defensive tackles put you in a guard and let defensive tackles beat the living piss out of you so that you understand what everybody else has to do for you to sniff a football. You know, it is the ultimate team sport. And that position, to me, is the ultimate dependent in that team sport. We're all dependent on one another doing our jobs, but there's no position that's more dependent on everybody else doing their job than wide receiver. And the fact that you guys don't understand that blows me away. It just absolutely befuddles me.
There it is.
Talking about toddlers.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's a good
answer.
I've
got one thing.
That's a good answer.
I live with one, so yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm talking about.
I should put some wide receiver gloves on her and watch her run around the house and throw fits.
She's a diva.
Yep, no doubt.
That is right.
Stink, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay, there it is. That's Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original The Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to The Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I had a feeling we might get a decent answer out of him.
Good answer.
About that issue.
Yeah, and I heard him earlier talking about the offensive line part of it, and he's right about where, you know, you're expected to go 65 for 65, and, you know, the old lineman's going up against, I don't know, you're going up against Micah Parsons, let's just say, right. Or Nick Bosa, right. Who is 6'4", 265. He's faster than you, stronger than you, quicker than you. He's a better athlete than you. Make sure you block him every single time.
Don't mess up.
Never mess up. And if you do, well, that guy goes to the Pro Bowl, and then you're a bum.
Well, I mean, again, this is a wonderful window into the thought process that's happening out there, I think, in certain position groups. What, again, is the name of our next offensive line guest, John Feliciano, at 5 o'clock? What's the name of his new podcast?
Not Our Fault.
Not Our Fault. And this is what, I mean, you just heard it from Schlereth. You're hearing it all around. And I know that we're spending a lot of time today on It Is Your Fault, but I also think within Your Fault, it's not your fault. Like, I think most people are more upset at the structure of the 49ers roster-wise and the fact that they haven't put more emphasis
right
on getting young, building, high draft pick offensive linemen. But that's the way a lot of O-linemen think. And if the wide receivers are the toddlers, the O-line, they are the parents.
Or the grandparents.
It's a thankless
right
freaking job. And you have to do it perfectly. And when you do one thing wrong, like, think about parenting.
Oh, God.
Like, really, there are those commercials about being, you know, kind of like a foster parent or whatever, where they're like, all people, just be there. Will you just keep the kids alive? Will you just give them some love? Just give them a hug once a day. Tell them you love them. And you do that. And that's really the basis of parenting. But we also all go to bed every single day feeling like failures.
Or you send your kid to school with the wrong sandwich,
right?
And he comes back. It's like, Dad, I told you I don't like mustard on that. And it's like, okay, I mean, I'm sorry. I worked 12 hours today. I paid the bills. I did this. I did that. I put mustard on your sandwich.
There you go.
Like,
welcome to being an offensive lineman.
Right, exactly.
A couple of weeks ago, I go home. I cook steak for my children who are under my roof.
Medium rare, too.
Well, but
I'm sure you nailed it.
But it came out medium.
Oh, boy.
And they're like, Dad, one more red next time. Oh.
Shut up!
Shut up!
All right, 888-957-9570.
They didn't yike it.
They didn't. They did. They didn't yove it. all right, 888-957-9570. That is the number. Is the window for the Niners? Do you see it as open? Do you see it as closed? Grandy's grades not far away. John Feliciano at 5. It's Fat Tuesday on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
There's a lot of teams going into the Shanahan tree and the outside zone stuff.
Shut up!
on 95.7 The Game.
We get to do that again in an hour and a half. 90 minutes from now, John Feliciano reacts defensively to something that Richard Sherman says on his podcast. That's my prediction.
Perhaps.
Yuck it in.
I don't think that he'll be that defensive. And speaking of cuckoosh, it might be time to fade the Dibber. Although I'm still 19-8.
Well, this is what I've been saying all year. Yeah, like, you have up some room.
Yep.
But also true, you done lost three in a row, dog.
And there's a regression that we knew was coming. And
this is your first losing streak.
And last night was whatever. I mean, Washington, you had the lead, you had the ball, you had everything. Go down and score.
Yeah, but would they? Like, even if they had conservatively, let's see, what was the score at that time? It was 24-22. So if you go down and, like, you needed a touchdown to cover the spread. If they kick a field goal, they're still only up by 5. The spread was 5.5.
It was 5.5.
Yeah,
okay.
You needed a touchdown.
Right.
And Jaden Daniels fumbled the ball.
And Jake Moody is a threat, ladies and gentlemen.
Can we spend a moment on Moody?
Moody, bro. Moody. Anybody have, you don't have kicker envy because you got Eddie Pinero, Eddie Money.
None. And Moody missed another one last night. He got it blocked.
But it was his fault. It was a low kick.
Kicked it into people's butts. Right, it's a kicker's fault. But no, great night for Jake.
Yep.
And he was so excited after the game.
Shouldn't he be? He was excited.
I'm being sarcastic.
No, he was excited, but he's not a smooth operator. Shout out Sade.
Can we play it for everybody?
I wish you wouldn't, because I watched it live. And my first thought was, first of all, dude, take your helmet off.
Right. It gave me Ricky Williams vibes. Do y'all remember this?
Yeah.
Like, some of you aren't old enough to remember.
Well, he had real anxiety.
I know he did, but do you remember the whole Ricky Williams? Like, he would not take his helmet off.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, good. We go to Grandy because it makes us feel better because
he's 29.
I know,
so.
But he's a throwback, so you remember stuff.
He's an old soul.
Lucas, who's not here today, is usually sitting next to him with a complete blank stare, no clue what the hell we're talking about. If it hasn't happened in the last 3 weeks, Lucas is unaware of it. So, anyway, Jake Moody is... I think us Niner fans, you're right. We don't have kicker envy, so we're good here. It allows us to just be happy for Jake. And we wanted Jake to get that microphone last night and do one of two things. Either rip the Niners organization for their lack of psychological care or give us the human interest. Dude, like, cry. Cry. You're a third-round pick who got absolutely kicked in the rear, sent to a practice squad on the midway, and then ended up on Monday Night Football being a hero. Like, do something emotional. Instead, he kept his helmet on It just was like, yeah. Yeah. It's a great day.
Yeah. Football.
All right.
Right?
All right. So let's see. Here's the on-field interview with Lisa Salters on ESPN.
Jake, the most made field goals in a Bears debut. Just
come on.
What is this night feeling like to you after the year you've had?
I mean, it feels amazing, you know, to get, you know, all that support after the game from all my teammates. You know, I got here not too long ago, but for everybody to embrace me and, you know, take me in as one of their own, it's an amazing feeling.
What were you saying to yourself after things kind of went sideways in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have a fresh start, you know, and I always believed in myself, believed in my teammates. Shout out to Scott and Tori. They made that operation really easy on me. And same with the O-line up front, protecting great on that last one, that you can't draw it up any better.
You missed an earlier one, so what were you saying to yourself as you lined up the game winner?
I like to say you're only as good as your next kick, so you can't dwell on the past. You got to move on and focus on the next kick.
Like, Lisa's trying to find multiple ways to be like, can you tell us about the
right.
emotional journey of this? And within seconds, he's like, I got to give it to the long snapper. Because we drew it up, really? What do you mean you drew it up, dude?
The operation.
You just kick the ball. Like, there's no
drill. It for the operation, though.
Snap the ball. And kick the ball. There's no, like, nobody is staying up all night. All right, here's how we're going to kick field goal.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to draw. You're going to go over here.
I'm going to point the laces out. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold the point with one finger, maybe two, and you're going to run up and kick it in the middle of the ball, and you're going to try to kick it up in the air and straight.
I think I figured out why Jake Moody was missing so many. He thought we were drawing up plays.
Yeah.
He's like, you go over there, and I'm going to go over here, and then this guy, we're going to do X out, Y, Omaha, Omaha, and then I'm going to what are you doing, dude? Just kick the ball straight, which last night he did. Awesome.
Over and over and
good
over.
Good for you, Jake. Monday Night Football in the damn rain.
Yeah. Sideways rain, wind, and the whole thing, and a game-winning kick, and he drilled it. So
he drilled it.
I wonder if there are some Niner fans who are like, where was that? You know, I mean,
I didn't feel it.
Some people are happy for Jake, and I do think that other fans are like, what the F? Like, where was that when we needed it, Jake?
I think you'd feel that way if Pinheiro was struggling, but the guy has not missed a field goal try yet with the 49ers, and so we're good here. We're good here. Don't you feel like I wish success to Jake Moody?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I am as a person. So, yeah.
I've got nothing against Jake. Is that like, you know what I mean? If you got anger about that situation, it's at the Niners for using a third round pick on somebody who didn't kick the ball straight
right.
for you.
Right. And that's another reason why you could look at the Niners and say they're not good at drafting. And that's a whole nother topic outside of Jake Moody. But, you know, Cameron Latu is a guy who's out there playing football for other teams. And that's another wasted draft pick, and Ty Davis Price and Reuben Foster and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, you could look at Jake Moody and chalk that up to another blown draft pick. But just for the Jake Moody part of it, yeah, Jake, go out there and have a career.
Yeah.
Just don't kick a game winner against the Niners.
My other favorite part, well, he might. He plays the Bears and Niners are on the schedule. I don't think Jake will still be their kicker.
Yeah, I mean, Cairo Santos, he's a great kicker, and he's coming back.
Right, he's just hurt. He got a little quad thing. And so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with Jake Moody going forward? It would be pretty funny if the Bears-Niners game has Jake Moody kicking in it. But the other thing that struck me as funny, and this is, look, what else are you going to say? But he's just like, I'm so thrilled that I'm being accepted by my teammates as one of their own. Jake, they don't even know who you are.
Right.
Like, Caleb Williams was literally like, I haven't even met the guy yet.
Totally.
Plus, they don't accept you as a teammate. They accept you because the ball went through the uprights. You're like, I keep trying. We've talked about this before, and right, the Feliciano has told us. Other ex-players have told us. The kicker is on. He is a teammate as long as the ball is going through the two yellow poles. As soon as it's not going through the two, you're not a teammate. You're a hired gun. So that was especially funny to me because I think Jake just arrived this week, at least to the active roster, just elevated. So I just want to thank all the teammates for accepting me. If they accept you so much, take your helmet and jersey off and go through the locker room and high-five them and ask them if they know
right.
who you are.
Who are you? No clue.
Take the jersey off and just be like, yeah, what's up, Caleb? And he'll be like, I'm sorry, are you a reporter?
Yeah.
Or like,
I mean, the mustache looks familiar. Yeah. Like, and if you're on the offensive special team side of it, you might know him a little bit. And
maybe.
He got a great celebration, which was cool.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Want to tell you about this Sunday kickoff show with Lo Neal. And Evan Giddings will be live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale starting at 3 p.m. They'll have all the early games on. Beer Garden will be rocking with a DJ. Bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. If you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium right now. And it's first come, first serve, and they go like hotcakes. So you should get over to the website right now and do that. The Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com. All right, let's get back out to the phones. 888-957-9570. We'll do Grandy's grades probably in about 45 minutes, 40, 45 minutes, around 420, 425, somewhere in there. 420, Grandy's grades.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, boy. Anyway, John Feliciano at 5. Let's keep going with you. How about big, bad Falcon hater in Atlanta? Hi, big, bad Falcon hater.
Well, yeah, usually y'all know me by Mr. Jones, but my alias out here is the Big Bad Falcon Hater.
Okay.
Yep, that's me again.
You do you.
But, yes, sir, they coming out to the Bay, right? We heard up. We need to be serving barbecue Falcon meat at the tailgate before and after so they can be sick to their stomachs. You understand? As I said, I'm from here. I was at the club with them last night. They was all gallivanting, playing all the music. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see y'all in San Fran. What a hurt-up team. Now, do you know they ride the highs of the highs, but they also the lows of the lows. And the last time they came to San Francisco, we lost. We cannot be losing to a team that has never won a Super Bowl. Also, Raheem Morris, we used to whoop him all the time when he was the defensive coordinator with the Rams, right? His game plan ain't changed. Cal's game plan ain't changed neither, right? So we already know what he do. We have a good idea what he do, and he do it without Aaron Donald. My thing is, Niner fans, show up. Everybody, we need to be loud and deep because they going to come. And we need to send them back home with some cornbread and greens in a sad face. You understand me? Niner gang, bang, bang. We going hunting for Falcon meat, okay?
That is a wonderful rant.
Great call.
I have never had Falcon meat before.
I don't know if anyone has.
Yeah, big bad Falcon hater, thank you. I don't know.
It sounds to me like it'd be pretty tough. The Falcon's a very active, aggressive, athletic bird.
I feel like you might get arrested, too. Are Falcons, is anybody shooting a Falcon?
I don't know. You might come across one on the road, fresh roadkill.
Falcon roadkill? They're bird.
I understand it. You do know that birds sometimes wind up on the road and get hit.
Usually not birds of prey.
Fair enough.
And eagles.
My old cat.
Swerve. You don't want to hit an eagle.
Cliffy the cat. I just was over at my old house last week helping my son learn to drive. And here comes Cliffy, not with a falcon, but he had a bird. So
a pigeon.
It was a smaller bird than a pigeon. But if you're a bird around Cliff, you better keep your little head on a swivel.
Better recognize.
He's coming for you.
Well, the cats, because my cat used to do the same thing. He would bring you a pigeon.
Yeah.
He didn't want to eat them.
No.
They want to show you what they can do.
Dude, he came prancing in.
Yes.
He was swaggering.
They bring them to you.
Yeah.
It's a gift. They're like, look what I got you.
So he brought it
for
the
your
house,
half birthday.
And it was alive. And my son was in there, and I hear him go, oh, my God. And I was like, what? And he's like, it's alive. And apparently he was able to get it from the cat, and he holds it in his hands, and he goes outside and he throws it. And the bird flies away.
Oh, it did?
It flew away. I'll show you the video.
Was that the Princess Bride? What movie was it where it's like, free? No, maybe it was, I think it might have been Mel Brooks' History of the World or one of those.
Right.
The guy in jail where he's like, he had the pet birds and they all died, and he's like, be free, free.
I don't
throws
remember
them out
that.
The window, and they just go, bonk.
I should remember that, but I don't. Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to tell me was about to happen.
And I'll show you the video.
The bird still had wings?
My ex-wife is watching this through her Ring camera at work. And she's barking at me through the speaker on the Ring camera like, go help your son. And I'm like, no, I'm leaving. And he was able to get the bird from the cat and throw it out.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, falcon meat.
I don't know why. His story is
I'll show you the video. It's... Dude, there's video. And I was... Yeah, I was incredulous. I'm not helping my 22-year-old son.
The cat got the bird.
In the house we go.
It brings it into the house.
Prancing.
Then your son acquires the bird.
Right.
Then your ex-wife is screaming at you on the Ring camera.
Correct.
To help.
Right. And I'm like, no, I'm leaving.
Then your son throws the bird.
Out the door.
And then the bird flies.
It almost hits me in the face.
What is going on here?
I'll show you the video. That's what's going on here. And it all comes from falcon meat.
Man, let me guess what the cat was doing the whole time. Chilling.
Totally. He's like, on to the next bird. You know, I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
Because there are more birds in our yard who they've got no idea what they're in for.
Oh, that's too good.
Falcon meat. I'm kind of with you. I don't think that
back to the Niners.
Like, you can't go to your local meat shop and no, I'm not feeling like Charlie Saul today. Do you have any falcon meat?
Go to Costco all the way to the back.
Right.
Be like, do you guys have bulk falcon?
Right.
I don't think so. Although we could call their offensive line bulk falcon.
Yeah.
My point is this. I haven't had one yet, but I'm about to make one. I like what he said with regard to, look, the Falcons are coming off of a short week. They're going to be riding high. This is a team that beat the Buffalo Bills by double digits and also lost to the Panthers by 30.
They got shut out by the Panthers.
Totally. So I don't really know exactly what to make of this team yet. I don't even know who's quarterbacking the 49ers. I tell you this, though. This is one hell of a pivotal football game. This is a tremendously, organizationally pivotal football game. Because if there are those of you out there who want the 49ers to really make something out of this season, trade deadline and in terms of execution, after what has taken place with the injuries, knowing also that you will hit the road immediately after this game to go play at Houston and at the New York Giants. Not world beaters, but also not maybe the pushovers that they looked like at other points in the season. Plus, it's on the road. Plus, I would argue both of their defenses cause problems for quarterbacks. And we don't even know what's going on with the quarterback position. So if you, this is a springboard. This fifth win and your last home game before the deadline, except for the one that's right up against the deadline, which is the Rams, and is also not going to be easy. This is a springboard game. I think that the whole idea of the Niners still making something of this season and heading to the playoffs and everything, this is a linchpin on Sunday night football in your building.
Yeah, it's really the next couple, two or three, I believe, because you know you've got games that the Giants are a team that's getting better. The Texans are an interesting one because they have a really good defense and their offense is kind of hit and miss, and they're going to give you the ball a bunch. And this Atlanta team is a little bit the same, where Atlanta's defense is, you know, better than many people think, and they kind of showed it last night on Monday Night Football. But yeah, they're coming in on a travel spot and a short week, so that's an advantage to the Niners. But you look at the Niners and who's their quarterback and who else is injured and all the rest of it. So if you look at the advanced metrics on these next three games, the Texans, the Giants, the Falcons, the Niners, they're all right in that same area. None of them have a very good or elite offense. And the Niners, actually, if you look at EPA, expected points added, which is one of the advanced metrics, the Niners are dead center on both axes. So they are dead center as a defense. They're dead center as an offense. They are the epitome of an average team, the Niners.
Yeah.
And
that's what they look like right now.
Right.
I mean, I was throwing this at Grandy before the show. Do this exercise. Forget 4-2. Forget 4-2. When have you been watching them so far through these first 6 weeks and you're like, ooh, they look like a good team right now? How often have you felt that?
Like for a whole game or
whenever you felt it. You can answer it however you want.
I felt that way every game.
Really?
For, for a drive like or a drive or two.
A drive or two.
Maybe a quarter. Like my, and that's your point, I think.
Yes, my first answer was the first half of the Rams game. That looked like a good football team. They were operating on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
They were humming. They were moving the ball. They were not doing field goals. They were doing touchdowns. And then outside of that, yeah, like it's the opening drive in Seattle. That was good. You look like a good football team. I don't know. Second half in New Orleans at times. Arizona game, never felt it. Jacksonville game, never felt it. Tampa Bay game, marred by what I think is the most significant of all of the injuries, and never felt it anyway. So, I mean, you're sitting – that's kind of what I'm getting at. You're 4-2. You're okay. You got something that you want to – oh, we got to bolster the roster, right? They played 6 football games, and there's none of them that where you like feel like, ooh, that's good. They played a great game. That's a good team.
Yeah, not a complete game. Like the New Orleans game, yeah, they were never, I think, threatened with that game. But, you know, that game maybe was closer than it probably should have been. And, you know, New Orleans had the ball with a chance to drive down and still beat you. And so there's that. And I look at Sunday's game against Tampa Bay where you have a 1-point deficit and you have 3rd and 14 – and you had 4 or 5 chances to tackle Baker Mayfield.
No question.
If you tackle Baker Mayfield, you might win that game, and we might be looking at all this a little bit differently. And you could say that about all the other previous games, but that's kind of who the Niners have been, and the advanced metrics would indicate that that's the same thing. And what's interesting is the teams that are closest to them in all these metrics, one is Philadelphia.
Yep.
Philadelphia is dead, middle, mediocre. Arizona's the same. The Bears are right there. Carolina's right there. These are the teams that they are having, you know, keeping company with.
Yep, exactly.
And yet they're 4-2, and they could be 2-4.
No doubt. Let's do it real quick. Let's do Bobby and Los Altos real quick. 888-957-9570. Hey, Bobby, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. This will be a quick one. I was going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Jake Moody, but I can't get over the Falcon thing. I'm pretty sure it's probably illegal in California, and if you can buy it, it's probably $100 a pound. So I have general rules, and I would never barbecue something that expensive. I think you probably need to sous vide Falcon meat and then maybe sear it on cast iron. It seems like a waste to barbecue Falcon.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to stick with chicken. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, your cat, if you see a peregrine falcon running around your cat, you better get that cat inside. Because, Dibs, that cat is in big trouble, bro. Okay, Moody, this is all I really wanted to say. You know, obviously, it worked out for both sides, right? He obviously wasn't fit for this team. And, you know, I'm happy that he's found a place in Chicago and enjoying that moment. And so, Willard, when I turned on the car, like, all I heard you was going sentence by sentence, just attacking the brother. Can you just let Moody enjoy his moment?
When was I attacking him? When was I attacking him? The interview, Bobby. Oh. The interview is funny. You got to see it, too. The interview is funny. Lisa Salters is trying like hell to get him to share something human. And he's sitting there, thanks, Bobby, he's sitting there with his helmet on, being like, hey, man, we run this great snap. Can't call that play any better. I'm like, what's the call? It's the field goal team. Snap it and kick it. But maybe he's just – I've never interviewed Jake Moody. Maybe he's just not a very expansive talker. It was funny. It was not what Lisa was looking for. That's what I would say.
Right.
In a moment like that.
But you don't always get the answer you want when you're a sideline reporter.
Grandy's grades in about a half hour. Feliciano in 1 hour. Is the window open or closed? Your calls continue. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.